But yes, I was trying to do this right relationship between the individual and the faith community long before any meeting considered recording me as a minister, and in places where there was no model and no living memory of the kind of relationships that I was seeking. So my first advice to friends who feel themselves led into a chronic public ministry is that they do seek the support and oversight of their meeting. And I believe that this is necessary, not optional, for faithful ministry. For several reasons. One is simply the eye cannot see itself. I cannot see all the things in myself that contribute to my ability to carry out faithful service, just as I cannot see those things that detract or get in the way of that service. So consistent support helps me understand what I might bring, can bring to the ministry more accurately. And friends have learned through painful experience that even the most experienced individual or seasoned friend can make serious errors that are harmful to individuals, to groups, even to the religious society of friends at large. And consistent oversight of the faith community over the individual helps prevent this. And we all need encouragement to press on in difficult times, permission to stop doing something when that's the right thing to do, even if the original need continues. We need to hear a word of thanks when, in the nature of things, those receiving the ministry won't or can't speak it. And consistent support supplies what's needed. And finally, simply one of the most difficult tasks in many areas, but certainly in the gospel ministry, is telling opportunities from temptations. And consistent oversight helps us do this much better than we could do if we were entirely on our own. My second word of advice is to admit that my home meetings have often not understood, have actively misunderstood, or have simply not seen the need for me to seek the kind of support and accountability from the faith community that I've seen as a requirement. But I have not felt that has relieved me in any way of the need to have support and accountability. It hasn't relieved me of the need to model right relationship in my behavior. Because of all the things I've said before, it's important for each person who feels called into a chronic public ministry to model right relationship within the meeting so that other friends unfamiliar with these concepts and relationships can see how they work and can see how they might bring some benefit and see that acted out in the familiar surroundings of their own meeting. But that means that one must actually be accountable. You have to make yourself vulnerable. You have to be willing not to do what the anchor committee or monthly meeting has not approved. You have to be willing to do the work that they perceive as the higher priority in spite of one's own plans. It takes a degree of trust. One trust that if one follows gospel order, that thy actions will be understood by the intended person at the intended time, even if both of those, the person and the time, remain hidden from our understanding. If I'm doing the right thing, then it's contributing positively.
So Can you tell me what is prophetic ministry, and in what ways is Quaker ministry prophetic?
Big question, an important question. I feel I start with the idea that prophecy is not foretelling a future, whether it's a future of gloom and doom or a future of God's holy mountain. Prophecy is not talking about God's coming punishments, but prophecy is telling the truth. It is forthtelling, not foretelling. Prophecy describes how the creation is put together, how it works, and how we should act in order to harmonize with creation and how it works. In the old phrasing, to live in gospel order. The message of the prophets over and over again is if we harmonize with how the universe is put together, what the, if you will, the cosmic laws are, many good things will happen. And if we don't, then it will not go well for you, a phrase the prophets use over and over again. So that's one thing, what prophecy is. The prophet's job is to do everything God asks and nothing else. So that's not exclusive to prophets, and it's not exclusive to even the Quakers, but when you boil it down, that's the job. Do everything God asks and nothing else. And this means that don't try to add or improve the specific assignments that God gives to us. And an example that I always remember is that Moses got into trouble during the Exodus because he struck the rock to bring forth water, when his instruction was to stand in front of the rock and call the water forth. His added dramatic flourish, according to some accounts, kept him out of the promised land. Only what God asks. God asked the prophet to be a clear channel of communication between the divine and the community of faith. And to be a connecting link and to be clear. Friends used to say, well, the water of ministry tastes of the pipes. To the extent possible, Quaker prophets should try not to flavor the water. But this communication involves three general types of activities. To understand the covenant between God and the people, to advocate for God to the people, and to advocate for the people to God. So because our model of vocal ministry and for our life in general is that we're not doing this ourselves, but God is speaking through us to someone else, then that's prophecy. To sit in waiting worship in search of immediate and perceptible divine understanding, to wait for God to ask me to act in some way, and then to be willing to say yes unconditionally, are prophetic acts. To engage in vocal prayer, to express the yearnings of the faith community to God, an intercessory prayer is a prophetic act of the third type, which we see throughout scripture and we see throughout Christian history and our history as the Society of Friends. Do I believe that God has a mission for the Religious Society of Friends in our time? I do believe that very much. And I believe that that mission is for friends' meetings to be outposts of the kingdom of God in a broken world. And I use kingdom of God for specific reasons. Other people may be uncomfortable with it. I use kingdom because it's subversive, politically subversive. And God is my word for the divine. I think God, through the prophets and many other ways, has been telling folks how this world is put together and how we can live in it in harmony. And that when we do that, all sorts of synergy comes into play and all the pieces of creation are, I don't know, actualized, optimized, glorified, whatever adjective one wants to use at that point. And so I think we're called to model that kingdom in the everyday and in public and in ways that invite other people to join us and or to establish their own independent communities, which also model the kingdom of God, a place where everyone has a place, every part has a place, and every part works with every other.